I'm Darren Levy, and this is Citywide, airing every Tuesday evening from 7:30 to 8 p.m. right here on WNYU 89.1 FM New York and WNYU.org and New York University Radio. Citywide features insight from some of New York's most innovative artists. Tonight we will be talking with Ula Einstein. She's an abstract conceptual artist. And now here to talk with us is Ula.
Thank you so much for joining us here on Citywide.
Thank you so much for having me.
What is an abstract conceptual artist?
Well, it's a big umbrella term for I could say someone, or for myself, why I use the term is that people sort of want to know what genre you're working in, and so I don't do representational work or objective work. I tend to work very strongly out of ideas, and that would be the conceptual part. I'm essentially an idea person, and so everything starts with some idea. And because often in art the subject will be different than the object, the way that I work is very abstractly.
So how do you get these ideas?
They just float to me, or they're a conglomeration of things that I've seen or heard, or they're very much things that are a concern for me in my life. And I'm interested always in taking things that are from the detail and how can I stretch them out to the universal. In other words, on a broad way, for example, I'm always interested in the idea that nothing is as it seems. And it's even further than an idea because it's what I experience. And it's also easily experienced in art, where you can look at something, and you may think it's something, and then all of a sudden you'll read about it, or you'll talk about it with someone, and you'll see, oh, it's really this. And my experience a lot in life is like that. So in a very abstract conceptual way, that's something that fascinates me, because that's all about things that are revealed and concealed. And it's also about the paradoxes and dichotomies of, for example, for me, one of them that interests me is that I'm interested in the tension between pain and beauty, and expansion and contraction.
Has this changed the way you look at the world? You know, have you always thought of the world this way, or was this a gradual development for you?
This is something that's very. That has come certainly over time and over experience. And what I do is my interests will sort of always guide me to the tools and materials that I want to use. So, for example, in a large idea of nothing is as it seems. And this might be really abstract. I'm interested in the way where we are brought further by tradition, or it actually holds us back. In terms of how we can go forward, and in that way, a lot of the tools that I use are tools of daily living, tools that seem very common to many people. Such as thread and knives and fire and eggshells, things that we all can relate to. But then I like to take them and use them to express something different, something deeper, or I'm looking for almost the material to transcend to something else. But whatever I use has a very inherent meaning for me.
So you use fire, you said. Is that dangerous to work with at all?
Yeah, it's quite dangerous.
Have you ever harmed yourself?
No. I have been called a fire hazard in the building sometimes.
Oh, dear.
I haven't. And fire is a perfect example of looking at something where when you're burning something, you're actually in a large way hurting the material. But I was brought to fire by the idea of, I'm very interested in this idea of how we're branded in life. Like, are we marked by our earliest impressions and earliest imprints? Do we have a chance to get away from that? And because I'm interested in the marketing, I wanted to do something almost that was severe and immediate that could change the course of something. So that fire has such a quality of destruction, but it's also to me very linked with creation. And I'm fascinated with the idea that fire also has to have air in order to burn. And we have to have air in order to live. So that's another way, even if things aren't maybe as immediately as they seem. And so the latest series of work that I've been doing for a while has to do with fire and knifing things. And I say it like that because in some way they sound like violent acts, but the results are exquisitely beautiful and very ethereal. And they rely on light and shadow to sort of illuminate them. And so it's interesting that the result of something that could be seemingly painful, even to the materials that I'm using, can result in such beauty. And to take it even a step further, the exhibition that I was just in, it closed on Thursday, was part of a series about the elements. So I was in the series about the elements about fire. And I did a large wall installation of a piece that sort of crawls along and off and on the wall and away from the wall. And partially I did this because I want to also get away from this tradition of sort of hanging art on the wall. And also because it was very sculptural, it was a piece that I did over the summer that was extremely labor intensive, where I fire large amounts of rice paper, in other words, fragments, because I often work in fragments and then the fragments eventually create the whole. So I'm firing pieces that are then wrapped around wire, and I'm using ink and watercolor to allude to maybe pain or blood, which is also the same color as passion, and even the fire marks, which are a whole variety of tones of sepia. They almost also allude to as if I've been writing things and then scratching out, so you're not sure that you can actually read something, or it's a little illegible. It's a little, am I hiding something, or am I trying to reveal something? And yet the whole thing is also these lines that twist and curl and fold over and among each other, almost like they could be bodies or veins or ligaments or my sense of how we even all interact with each other. You know, it's not linear. You know, we come and we go, and we say things or we don't say things. We remember something, or we think we remember it. So it's kind of all linked in a very abstract way, so that anybody looking at it brings their own references to it, in a sense of, am I sort of creating body parts, or because I am fascinated with line and mark making, those are immediate things that you would see in the piece. And by now I've forgotten your question. Oh, why I went to fire. I wanted to have that sense of literally while I'm burning in something, I'm also burning away something, and in that sense creating space for something new. Mm. And playing with fire is dangerous. I was doing it in sort of small little segments, and then I went into this technique that I call the fire and stomp technique, where I sort of just let the fire just kind of like try to rip through the paper. And the papers that I often use, at least in this past series, are extremely delicate, and which allows, of course, light to filter through. And so there's a reason for that, almost that sense of can we see through, you know, can people easily see through us, or can we see through other things? And so the larger way I was using fire, or larger way I was just sort of letting it rip through larger amounts of paper, became kind of scary. But at the same time, it became liberating. And that, for me, is analogous to if I'm using fire to have this idea of, can we remove our past interest? can we remove our past imprints or impressions? Can they not necessarily hamper us or trap us? That I could, you know, almost alluding to, can I indeed wipe off that kind of map from myself? Can I erase my own inherited traditions to leap into something new? And so I was doing something that would be dangerous because it also felt very liberating. And it also, you also had to surrender to the marks it wants to make. You know, it's almost I'm doing very repetitive actions, but the mark that the repetitive actions make is rarely alike unless I'm doing really, really intimate works where I'm burning with incense sticks, and there you have somewhat controlled. So it's kind of uncontrolled, controlled, and it can also be controlled, uncontrolling, because you have to surrender to what's going to happen when you're doing this. Mm. Oh, so I would burn wildly, but always have a bunch of shoes around that I didn't particularly care for, and then I would do this stomp technique to quickly get the fire out, and I would always have to have water around to make sure that if things got out of hand, which often they did easily, I could just like pour water. So it's something that was somewhat scary, but it also brought a certain thrill for me.
So it sounds like this whole art, creating the art, is a whole big process for you. Besides the artwork, just creating, it's a whole big process for you.
It's very process oriented and very labor intensive. Mm-hmm. And just to add one thing about that,
sure.
The piece that I did over the summer, that was in this show, exquisitely sort of coming from a corner and crawling out from high and low and each side, was a piece that was extremely labor-intensive, but the result was something that was so illuminative, and it looked like it was almost just light as a feather, almost as if it really didn't take much to do. And I loved the idea of that kind of paradox came through, that often we work so hard at something, kind of like often when we see dance, or even musicians, you're forgetting how much practice is involved until when we actually see the performance, it actually transcends all that, and we're seeing something that eventually inspires. Mm. So I'm very inspired by that notion. The new element that I'm bringing into my work, which I'm very excited about, because I'm moving more and more towards doing more installations, is the idea of the way this piece in the exhibition Fire was hung is that I created the hanging of it by the space that's allotted. And a lot of my works, because they are about the fragments creating a whole, they are hung according to how much space I am allotted. So it could be more barely hung or more densely hung. And I liked that idea very much, just as a metaphor for how we use our space and how affected we are by our own private space and our public space and what we might do in different settings. And so I'm creating the art to reflect that, in a sense, too, almost that sense of it's not static, it's never static. It becomes alive also because somebody sees it, and then they're having some kind of inner dialogue with it as well. And so it's a way that I can manifest movement, even though it's not actually moving, but it has this kind of liquidity.
You're listening to Citywide on WNYU 89.1 FM New York. I'm Darren Levy, and I'm talking with Ula Einstein, an abstract conceptual artist. Now, you have so many interesting, works of art that you're talking about. Do you have a favorite one that you could, besides the wall installation you've been talking about, do you have another favorite one that you could describe for the listeners?
I'm someone who actually, I work in many medium. I began as a painter, but my sensibility is always that of alchemy, and almost that I'm always looking to take a material and transform it into something else. So I create objects, and lately most of my work is work that I either create with knives by making knifing and scoring with knives, or I draw a lot with thread. All of these works in a large way are considered drawing. In other words, I consider myself someone who draws and who sculpts, because even my paintings have that sense that I'm building. I'm always building and deconstructing. The latest work that I'm intrigued by that is very much part of this this larger dialogue is, I'll talk a little bit about actually the work that I'm working on, and I'm working again with eggshells, where I literally put tattoos of text on the eggshells, but I'm also crushing the eggshells to so fine that you wouldn't know what the material is unless I tell you. And I'm also doing sculpture with human hair. It's a series called The Remains of the Day, and for a while I was going to the hair salon around my corner, and about 5 o'clock each day. So again, that's even part of the ritual, because my work is also about ritual, but also breaking from ritual in a sense. So I would go daily and collect the human hair, and I became fascinated with that because I like the idea that, it's not that I like the idea, I'm fascinated with the idea that hair is dead, and yet it has our DNA in it, so it has information. And because on a large scale I'm interested in this kind of this mapping of things, or these instructions about things, the idea that there really is no formula for anything. We might keep looking for it, but there isn't. And I wanted to collectively take human hair that I'm fascinated with, even just for the sake of that it has line, in a very formal way. I'm always obsessed with line and mark making. And so it has this line, but I'm almost camouflaging, because I actually paint some of them, and it's the paint medium that allows the hair to get a little bit gooey so that I can actually sculpt it. And so you can't always tell immediately that I'm using human hair. So there are sculptures that they're very intimate. Some people have thought they were very scary. But they're very, they have that push-pull of that they're scary, but they're also very intriguing and very small, even for the scale that they're, not small, that they're strong, even for the scale that they're in.
Hey, you mentioned that you also draw with thread.
Yes.
Could you describe what that means exactly?
I'm someone who draws with almost every medium except ink, and this has to do more with the sensibility of what I think the work is, so that I don't consider it sewing, because for me it's really about, again, line and mark making. So I'm using thread with a needle that I do make drawings on paper or Tyvek with, and I also do it on a sewing machine. And they're very abstract works. They're also done on layered papers, because layering is also a theme that I do. All the fired works are layered, so there's a top layer, but then the back layers are also fired, and I do that with the knifed works, and I do that with the threaded works. So they all have this dimensionality to them. So even though I'm drawing with this concept, they're also sculptural in a sense. And the drawing I'm using mostly because I'm claiming that it's drawing. Somebody else might see it as something else, but for me, it's a matter of my sensibility is coming from a place that I'm drawing with the thread. And usually I use a black thread or a red thread. Mm-hmm. Again, papers that are very, very sheer, and the result is very ephemeral, very ethereal. It's almost like I'm making these little hieroglyphic markings, and you're not quite sure. It has tremendous visual appeal, but you're not quite sure. It almost is from a distance, it could be a pen or a pencil or some kind of ink, but as you get closer upon it, you see, oh, this is thread, but it's very fine, and it's And I use it in a sense because it's such a fragile material, but when you're putting it together line by line, it has a certain strength about it. And I also tend to build up with thread, but then I'll rip thread off, which is again my idea of building and deconstructing.
Who are some of your influences? You seem to have a very unique way of creating art. Who has influenced you?
I was afraid you were going to ask me this. you know, I have a background also in performing arts and singing, and I even did a 2-year stint of stand-up comedy. And I remember very clearly when I was acting that I never particularly looked at actors or the theater to influence me. I was very aware of when I would go to a museum and look at art that would also influence me as a performer. And in thinking that, oh, Darren's going to ask me who I'm influenced by, as many people do, it occurred, my immediate answer for myself is, in some ways I think I'm influenced more by philosophy. I'm almost influenced more by language in the way that a lot of my work, especially with the thread and some with the fire, alludes to pages in books or something, or language that has deteriorated, or secrets that I'm trying to convey. So in some ways, it's not that I don't have influences, but when I immediately think of that question, I think more of that I'm influenced by science and biology and philosophy and the human condition. You know, like how do we, just the fact of how do we move forward? Can we even change? And I'm looking in a way to use materials as a way of trying to manifest that idea for myself.
You say you were Swiss born.
Yes.
And you've come to New York. Now, why did you decide to come to New York?
Actually, I came to New York to be an actor. My first love was probably literature and acting. And I saw it, I can't say why I was drawn to it early on, but as I was studying it, I certainly saw that it's just a tremendous education, because acting also makes you look inward and be introspective in terms of to fully be able to step into a character's shoes and portray and reflect that so that people are resonating with that. And it's not a bizarre twist of fate or something, but with the acting, I realized I was spending much more time looking for work than working. And I think in longing to express and communicate, or even the way art is a discovery as much for the artist. I don't really know ahead of time why I may be drawn to a certain material or certainly a tool. That's usually revealed to me later on. And at some point, I got frustrated with the acting, and I thought, well, maybe instead of doing, you know, something that's much more external, I would try something that's internal. And I realized, because I can just buy canvas and paint and try that myself. I don't have to wait for someone to pick me. I don't have to wait for the director to think, oh, you know, she'd be good with the leading man or not, you know. And that kind of just got me on the road to working with paint and canvas.
What advice do you have for someone who wants to do the work that you're doing now, or similar work to the work you're doing now?
My advice is, I don't choose materials or tools out of trying to be clever or novel. There are things that are very personal to me and they resonate very deeply, although I may not know why at the time. And it just so happens that as a result, that it also goes out to the universal, because I use also things that are very common, but I transcend their usage. Almost like I can't stand what things are for, so I have to make them before something else. So my advice would be to stay true to yourself, to don't look so much what's out there. Listen and feel what's around you. You know, sometimes I like the way I was painting with sticks. It's only because they were around me. Or I would grab a few sticks from the coffee shops that you stir your coffee with, and then they were just on the table. And of course, there's in my apartment, there's always things of daily living around me, just, you know, knives and thread and things that I'm drawn to, and they might be things that are also earlier impressions. The idea of using eggshells I love because it's such a symbol of birth, but it's also very delicate, and human beings are very delicate as well as being very strong. So I would say that, you know, do things because they inspire you, not because it's a clever idea or it's something that you think is out there or fashionable or stylish. I think that that me just trying to follow what's there and not being worried or concerned about if it's going to work for anyone else helps me to have a singular vision. Even though that's not what I'm necessarily going for, I'm just trying to stay with a genuineness and an authenticity about how I can communicate what I want to. It's a personal exploration, and then I'm happy or lucky if it resonates with other people, because they'll say, "Oh, I never looked at it like that. I never thought of it that way."
It looks like we're just out of time here, but before we wrap up entirely, I do have one more question. I know that you know, a lot, you seem to really be interested in double meaning, and I'm just curious, when someone comes and sees an exhibition that you've done or installation, what do you want them to walk away thinking?
They will have certainly a perception of, oh, I would never have thought that you could create with this kind of materials, or why on earth would someone pick up something like this and do something? And maybe to walk away thinking that how far we can stretch, that we can take things that we think are for one purpose and they become for another. And it reminds us maybe to stay, to remember the mystery of things. That we can think we know something, and then something can open up and become something else. Because a lot, the beauty of being able to exhibit and having dialogue with the public is, you get to hear all the things that resonate with them, and some of that you may have intended to want to communicate, and other things are beyond your power to have done so, and so that you can see how the unconscious or the subconscious can come through, and then it resonates with other people.
Thank you so much for all your very unique answers, and thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, Darren, thanks so much for having me. This was exciting for me, and it was a pleasure.
For more information about Ula Einstein, you can visit www.artula.com. That's artula.com. That's it for Citywide. I'm Darren Levy. You can email your comments about today's show to citywide@wnyu.org. Visit Citywide on the web at wnyu.org/citywide. We'll be back next week with more Arts Talk, but for now, keep it here on New York University Radio, because up next is experimental acoustic music with Heather on Outside. Thanks so much for tuning in, and from everyone here at WNYU News, have a great night.